Penguin Random House Audio presents T-Shirt Swim Club, Stories from Being Fat in a World of Thin People, by Ian Carmel and Aliza Carmel, Psy D. This is the author, Ian Carmel. Dedicated to all the fat kids. It gets butter. Better. Sorry, better. It gets better. Introduction. Welcome to the T-Shirt Swim Club. Some of you have been members for a long time and need no introduction. Some of you are new. Grab a chair. It's one of those good metal chairs, not one of the flimsy plastic ones you're worried about collapsing the entire time you're sitting in it. Some of you were wondering if you're in the right place, and the rest of you are just visiting, so let me get you up to speed. We're going to talk about being a fat person and how the world treats fat people. We're going to talk about how we, fat people, treat ourselves. Terrible news. Not well. The T-Shirt Swim Club is an open space where we can talk about how it feels to walk down the aisle of an airplane while the other passengers look at us with contempt in their eyes, as if we were holding three crying babies and a service donkey, praying we're not headed for that empty seat to their left. This club is about gym class and chafing. This club is about crying in the fitting room at Sears. This club is about sex and how fat people actually do have it. This club is about hating people for not loving you enough and hating yourself for the same reason. This club isn't Weight Watchers. It's Lunchables and Gushers, Chinese buffets and chicken wings, pizza and beer. And then it's shame and kale smoothies for a month until it's time for chicken wings again. Once you become a member of this club, you can never leave. Because even when you stop wearing T-shirts in the pool, you'll always remember how it felt. The clingy, wet T-shirts and all the screwed-up feelings about being fat that made you think wearing one in the water was a good idea in the first place. Fat is forever. Even if you get less fat, fat is forever. Quick side note. I'm going to use the term fat. I'm going to call myself fat. I'm going to call other people fat. I'm going to refer to fatness as a general concept, and I'm going to use other phrases too, but I didn't avoid fat for the first 35 years of my life, and I'm not going to start now. It's a loaded word, but I don't think it's the word's fault that we treat fat people like garbage. I'm Ian Carmel. In my life, I've weighed 8 pounds, and I've weighed 420 pounds, and right now, I'm almost exactly in between the two. What I hope to do here, other than reminisce about discontinued snacks and Big Dogs T-shirts, is share how it feels to be fat and why it feels like that. I want to make an attempt at understanding myself, and I want to get as specific as possible while I'm doing that because I genuinely believe it's the only way to be relatable. I want to find other people like me out there, on every part of the journey. I want to find the kids stress-eating prosciutto, the grown-ups grimacing while they pull a third set of utensils out of the Chinese food delivery, for one, the people disassociating while a doctor lectures them, and when digging through a pile of shirts that almost fit to find the one that does. I want to find the person out there who is killing themselves with food because it's the most delicious way to kill yourself. Just like I was. I want to find you. I want to find me. I want us to know that we aren't alone. Unfortunately, I'm dumb as hell. Seriously, my spell check is threatening to get a lawyer. I actually need to wrap this up to get to a timeshare presentation. I'm dumb. Thankfully, for all of us, the co-president of the club is my brilliant sister. Aliza and I have been fat our whole lives. She dealt with it by becoming a doctor of psychology. I dealt with it by becoming a comedian, which is the opposite of a doctor. In the pages that follow, I'm going to talk about my life as a fat person, and she's going to come in, at the end, in a brilliant What Now section to explain some concepts, clear up some misconceptions, and generally call me on my bullshit. It's impossible to write a comprehensive book about being fat. It's too personal. Everyone's experience is unique. A fat person's relationship to the world, to their family, to themselves, to their fat, is completely different from someone else's. Gender, race, sexual preference, physical ability, economic background, religious background, food deserts, food desserts, and 10 million other things factor into it. So this is just our story. And please know that Aliza and I, as two fat people, understand as well as anyone that yours might not be the same. This club is the acknowledgement that we're all on our own journeys with fat. It is also a hope that it doesn't always have to feel quite so lonely. Fat. Alternately, depending on the user, an adjective, an insult, an excuse, an anachronism, a term of endearment, a medical definition, a compliment, an alarm, an epidemic, an afterthought, and sometimes olive oil. Chapter 1, T-Shirt Swim Club. Before all the pain, pancakes, and persecution, I was just a cute, fat little baby. Fat babies have a 100% approval rating. Admiring onlookers swoon, cooing over their biscuit dough legs and impossible little ham hands. People lose their minds around a fat baby. They speak in tongues. They melt into a puddle and recongeal just long enough to explode into a cloud of confetti. A fat baby is basically a human corgi. When they enter a room, that room is a happier place. People greet them by saying, "Well, hello there," in a voice they didn't know they had until they saw the fat baby. People love fat babies, and lucky for them, most babies are fat. But I enjoyed it so much that I just kept going into adulthood. Life gets more complicated for the babies who stay fat. Being a fat toddler wasn't bad, though. Being fat lends itself beautifully to toddling. The world hasn't tried to make you feel bad about being fat. The world hasn't really tried to make you feel anything about being fat. Your life has a lot less shame and a lot more crayons. It's great. Plus, you're in preschool. I loved preschool. I attended the Middleman Jewish Community Center in Portland, Oregon, and I might have peaked in those years, to be honest. Spending all morning learning about Purim and dinosaurs, spending all afternoon in the lap pool next to bobbing boobies, and in between, lunch. There's a cafe at the Middleman that, to this day, has yet to receive its proper respect from the Michelin Guide. I had hot dogs at this cafe. I had hamburgers. I discovered the knish at this cafe. I still can't wrap my mind around how the knish isn't a mainstay of American cuisine. It's so bad for you, and it tastes like God's perfect potato. Along with psychotherapy and Mel Brooks, the knish should be counted among the Jewish people's greatest contributions to American culture. This cafe also had steak fries like you wouldn't believe. These things were sturdy. An honest man could build a home from these fries and raise 5 generations of strapping Scandinavian sons within its ketchup-soaked walls. I'm carrying on about this food now, but that was kind of my issue even then. I love to eat. Maybe I'm putting it the wrong way. Saying I love to eat is like saying I'm a big fan of music. Let me be clear. I'm crazy about eating. Figuratively, certainly, but also literally. I delighted in a good quality steak fry. But you could put a pile of uncooked spaghetti in front of me and I'd eat it. I'd eat coffee beans. I'd chug maple syrup. I ate like Pac-Man. I ate for the same reason that people climb Mount Everest. Because it's there. When I was a toddler, I was caught standing in front of an open fridge with a brick of butter in my mouth. It's a cute story now. It was a cute story then. But there were a couple of decades in between where it felt like darkly comic foreshadowing. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was eating for a whole bunch of reasons other than my own hunger. How could I realize it? I was a kid. I had just found out about pizza. We should remind kids about the moment they discovered pizza when they find out Santa is fake, by the way. Like, hey, I know we screwed you over on that whole Santa thing, but remember when we told you about pizza and that turned out to be real? It would soften the blow. Also, yes, I'm a Jew who celebrated Christmas. We're allowed. We wrote all the best Christmas songs. So there I was, blasting pizza, blasting knishes, blasting uncooked spaghetti, full of wonder. Adults didn't say a cross word about it because when it comes to boys and their diets, adults are mostly just bothered by that kid who only eats chicken fingers. Can't take him anywhere. He'll be at the sushi spot asking for dino nuggets. Don't get me wrong. I would have housed a dino nugget at the sushi restaurant too. But I was also the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?